Okay, so I want to welcome everybody that's gathered in person or online with us. We are going to do another fellowship recording, and today I don't have so much as a teaching, but what I have is something that I want to share with everyone that I think will be great encouragement in these times that we live in. There's so much darkness and evil and stress, and there's so many wicked things around us in the world that we can get swept away, distracted by. Here in America, they just had the inauguration of the next president, which was a whole bunch of commotion and controversy. And so I was out street preaching today with Sister Debbie, and it kind of put me in the mindset of Washington, D.C. in America was making a big deal about the inauguration of the president. And it got me to thinking, this new president coming in, they make a big deal out of it, bands and all kinds of decorations and prompt and circumstance. And I started thinking about how that will compare and what it will be like when Jesus comes back. And today, what I want to do is I'm just going to read. I'm not so much teaching here. I'm just going to read scripture verse about Christ coming back. And I thought that would encourage and edify everyone. And as always, I always remind people that are listening online or in person, get a pencil, piece of paper, write down every verse that I give you, and then go back and read it, read the verses around it, ponder the whole letter, the whole chapter, get the full context, and then get into the word deeper than I'm going to do here, because I'm just going to read the scriptures and go through and read them about Christ's return to edify the body of Christ today. So let's get right at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And I'll go slow enough for everybody who wants to open their Bible and read along with me in King James I'm using. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Boy, that's an encouraging verse right there. I love that verse. All right, let's move on to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 28. And it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So that's really awesome. Talks about how he's our high priest. He came to bear the sins and those that are looking for him. So we need to be looking for Christ. You know, one thing I want to say, a lot of people, a lot of so-called Christians I hear, everybody's looking for the rise of the Antichrist. Everybody's looking for the rise of the evil system. Everybody's looking for the rise of wickedness on earth. And only that's all coming. But us Christians, born by his blood and his spirit, we should be looking for his coming most of all. I guess that's why I'm doing that today, doing this today. Revelation chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Revelation 1. 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Well, there's a verse that we can take joy in. He is coming again. And he holds the keys of death and hell. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Acts 1, verse 11. Which also say, ye men of Galilee, why ye stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in the like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So this is the account when Jesus leaves, and they're all standing up there looking, and then this verse says he's going to come back the same way by which he left. So that's a great encouragement. In the same book, Acts 17, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31. because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Hey, that's our hope, right? Apostle Paul says, without that resurrection, we have no hope. And so that is our glorious hope. He's raised him from the dead. And there's going to be a day of judgment. He talks about righteousness. Righteousness is simply what's right before God. So we're looking for that day as we strive in Christ. How about John 14? John 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That may be one of the greatest promises in Scripture. He's going to prepare a place and he's coming back for us. Glory to God. I love that. We can rejoice in that. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. One note I want to put there is I've heard people say that what Peter's talking about could be possibly like nuclear type of fission, because when nuclear explosions happen, the elements, I don't know a lot about it, but the elements, the atoms, the protons, the neutrons, all that stuff, they actually melt and come apart in a nuclear type explosion. So some people have said Peter's describing that. We'll see. Can't be dogmatic on that. But interesting is that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. So we need to be looking, watchful, mindful, and ready. How about John chapter 5? John 5, 28 through 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Well, there's a verse for you for the people that say, well, we don't have to do anything. It's just all about Jesus, and we don't have any righteousness, and we can't do any good. That's actually not what the scriptures tell us. He's coming, and the Bible says he's going to judge everyone according to their deeds. Of course, we need his perfect righteousness for salvation. Matthew 16, verse 27. Matthew 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Wow, there's another one. We need to be striving. We need to be obeying in holiness and obedience because of what he's done for us. Amen. Matthew 24, verses 26 through 27. We'll be going back to Matthew again, but right now we're going to read 26 through 27. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I always use this verse in all these strange groups that are saying, Jesus is appearing to them, he's coming to me in my closet, he meets me in my kitchen. Jesus warned, don't believe people when they say the sun's here, he's there. When he comes, like the lightning, he's going to part the sky. Everybody's going to see him. There'll be no doubt about it. What a glorious coming that is going to be. How about Colossians 3? Colossians 3, verse 3 through 4. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I love that. We're dead. We've crucified our old self, but we're alive in Christ, of course. And when he comes, our life, he's our life, we're going to appear with him. I love that. I love that verse. Hopefully that's a great encouragement to all you saints. John 6, 39 through 40. John 6, 39 through 40. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me I shall not lose nothing, but should rise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. There's that great hope of resurrection that we get to look forward to. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verses 2 through 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purify himself even as he is pure. There's that call to walk in holiness and obedience, purifying ourselves. We have a part to do in our covenant. Amen? Absolutely. How about Mark 14, verse 62? Mark 14, verse 62. And Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. You know, there's going to be no mistaking this second appearance. It's not going to be something you're going to miss. Many people are going to be fearful. Revelation says people will be asking for the rocks to fall on them to hide them from the Son of Man. And I want to say this. When we go out street preaching and I'm preaching, it's so amazing. People will pull up with their cars and their windows open, and I just start lifting up Jesus' name. Lifting up my voice. I'm not even preaching about sin per se. Lifting up Jesus, telling of his greatness, telling of his coming. People turn their radios up or they roll up their windows like, hide me from this truth of God. Well, they can hide today, but there's going to be no hiding on Judgment Day.